Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the children. I thank you for your son, Jesus, who came into the world as an infant, Lord, that you thought it best to come in humble, Lord. You deserved the whole world to herald your coming, and yet you came in a manger, humble. And Lord, you lived a life that you and I, that none of us in this room could ever live, Lord, that you lived sacrificially and you gave that life for us. I just can't comprehend that, Lord. And yet you did that. And so, Lord, I pray that you just open up our hearts and our minds and that we would just see how great you are and how we can trust you with our lives and put our faith in your faithfulness, Lord. Especially on this Christmas, Lord, as we look for comfort and we look for peace, and we look for love, Lord, that only you can give. And so pour that out onto us now, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, welcome to First Baptist Church of Rockland. I didn't get to say that earlier. And if you're visiting us for the first time, we'd love to get to know you. And there's cards in front of you in the pews that say getting to know you. And we would love for you to fill that out so that we can get to know you. And if you look on your bulletin, you'll see on the back, there's a simple outline to follow, and I would encourage you to follow that. I'm going to give you some verses this morning, and I would encourage you to write those down and to come back to them later. And we're going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And it's probably not a verse that you would associate with Christmas, but you'll see why it fits. First of all, Merry Christmas. All right. I think by now you probably have all your gifts bought, right? I heard somebody say, yeah, right. I don't envy you to have to go out in this weather and try to fight that. But I'm sure you have your Christmas day all planned out, where you'll be and where you'll celebrate the birth of Christ. All of us will share gifts and extend love with each other, and some will even share that love with complete strangers. I heard a story how a lady was She was in Starbucks and just paid for the person behind her. And so you hear about all these acts of kindness. It's a time of year when we're more gracious with one another. And everybody gives just a little bit more. Unless it's Black Friday. And we don't. Some of us will drive to be with loved ones who we haven't seen in a while. And we'll catch up with what happened in the last year, and we'll wake up early and we'll share gifts. We'll eat too much food. I know we will. I don't know if it's a Simpson thing, but we all eat way too much. We'll enjoy each other's company. And we will do this in the spirit of Christmas. We even call it that. Even the people who don't believe in Christ or God will call it the spirit of Christmas, and they will participate. It's a special time of year, and it impacts us whether we like it or not. I say that because sometimes the holiday season is some of the loneliest times for some people. They can't afford to travel, or perhaps they no longer have family, or they have recently had someone they love pass away. And Christmas just isn't going to be the same. Regardless of your feelings about Christmas, the meaning behind it is very special. And we can celebrate a time in history when God stepped into time. When God stepped into time. It's an incredible story that God has been revealing for thousands of years. He's been revealing himself from the beginning. From pre-creation to creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel, where he dispersed the people among the nations. God reaching out to a family and setting a people apart for himself through the patriarchs, from which God said the entire earth would be blessed. This was followed by the dramatic exodus out of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and Moses. And then we have Joshua who takes the promised land in the time of Judges when everyone did what they saw fit. And then there was the great monarchy of Saul, David, and Solomon. And then it was followed by a divided kingdom in the time of great and minor prophets who all warned Israel of the exile and then the dispersing of the Jewish people into the world, which came to pass. And then God allowed a remnant of Jews to come back to the promised land. And then there was 500 years of silence. Nothing was said. It was quiet. Suddenly a bright star appeared and Jesus was born. God with us, in flesh, entered time as an infant, grew up and was crucified, paying the price and the penalty for our sin. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit into the world at Pentecost, and he established the church through the apostles, and he spread this church into the world to reach the people for his name, the name of Christ, the Anointed One, which is where we are today. Those who are Christians are playing a part in reaching the world for Christ. And when this time ends, Christ will return and he will gather the church to himself and judge the nations and those who have rejected him and establish his kingdom forever and ever. And we will reign with him as children of God. This is God's story, and we all have a part in it, whether you want it or not. You're in it. This morning, we'll continue to look at God and who is faithful, and we can put our faith in his faithfulness because he is seeing this story unfold. He is making it happen. Which brings us to our verse this morning, which says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For every one of God's promises is yes in him. Therefore, an amen is also spoken through him by us for God's glory." Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and reassuring them of God's faithfulness. Paul wanted to see them, and he said he was coming, but God had a different idea and diverted Paul. Have you ever had a plan in your life that you thought it was all going to work out and God diverted you? You thought you had it all figured out and God had a whole nother idea for you. He diverted Paul. In response, the church was disappointed that Paul wasn't coming and possibly even began to question God about keeping his promise. Paul assures them that God is faithful. You can see that in verse 18. And God is fulfilling the work promised through his son, Jesus. For in him, all of God's promises are yes and an amen to everyone who believes, to the glory of God. Here's my goal for this sermon this morning. I want to encourage you. I want to build your faith in Christ. And I'll do that by sharing two things that separate Christ from everyone else in the world and how all the promises are fulfilled in him. I hope by doing so that you'll put your faith in God's faithfulness through Christ. And I hope that you will see Christmas just a little bit different. Why was Jesus different from everyone else? And there's lots of things that separate Christ from other religious leaders in the world. But these two things, I just want to give you two simple things that maybe you don't understand and it might help your faith. What separates Jesus from from everyone else. Firstly, Jesus was pre-announced. Jesus was pre-announced. No other religious leader in the world was named and pre-announced. Nobody. Think about that for a moment. Not only was Jesus pre-announced, but he knew he was pre-announced. Jesus said this, for a child, this is what Isaiah said, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulder. He'll be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. We were told where he would be born. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, and from eternity. So we were told where he would be born. We were told he was coming. We were told exactly where he was going to be born. And we were also told how he would be born. He would be born of a virgin as a sign, and his name would be Emmanuel. God is with us. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Jesus was pre-announced hundreds of years before his arrival. Think about this. Muhammad didn't know he was coming. He had no idea. Buddha didn't know he was coming. He just lived his life. And everyone else made him the Buddha. Not a religious leader in the world can say he knew he was coming and it was supported by prophecy. That others wrote 500 years before he even came that he was coming. Here's what Jesus had to say about himself and Scripture. Luke 24, 25, and 27 says this. And this is Jesus talking. Jesus said to them, "How unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself and all of Scripture." The entire Old Testament sets the stage for the coming of Christ, which we celebrate on Christmas. Secondly, Jesus said, "Believe in me." He said, "Believe in me." He didn't say, "Just believe in what I taught you," but he said, "Believe in me." He went so far to say that you must believe in him to know God. No other religious leader in the world, unless he's totally crazy, would have made such a statement. Jesus said you had to believe in him in order to know God. In fact, Jesus went so far to say you couldn't know God without knowing him. It's an amazing statement to be made by somebody. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, 6. Here's what John had to say about believing in Jesus. "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Paul understood this. And he understood a lot more about Jesus, which brings us to our passage this morning. For every one of God's promises is yes in him, and therefore the amen is also spoken through him by us for God's glory. 2 Corinthians 1:20. What are some of the promises that Paul talks about? Let me just save this first. I don't know if you've ever picked up a Bible, but the whole book is filled with promises. It's impossible to go through every promise that is in the Bible. I sat there and tried to list a bunch of them, but I just got stuck in just Psalms alone. I started thinking off the top of my head. He's my shield, my refuge, my strength. He's the light on my path. I can go on and on about all the promises that are just in the Psalms themselves. And that's probably just one or two Psalms. I could go on and on. You could read page after page. The whole book is filled with promises. So it's impossible to list them all. The whole book is a promise. The promise of the coming Son, the Son comes, the forgiveness of sin, and life everlasting. But I'm going to give you a few. And I would encourage you just to write these verses down. Don't try to write down the verse itself. Just write down a number. And then go back in your Bible and just look at these promises if you've never done that before. Firstly, God promised Abraham in Genesis 12, 2 and 3. He promised that he would be blessed and the entire earth would be blessed through him. To David, God made the promise to the house and the king, your house and your kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever. And that is in 2 Samuel 7:16. Those two promises are foundational for the rest of the promises in the Bible because they set the stage for why Christ would come and why. That he was going to come, and why. Here we go. You ready? Pencils ready? For those who want to write them down. He has plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11. He gives us rest. Matthew 11:28-29. He gives us strength. Isaiah 40:29-31. He supplies all of our needs. Philippians 4:19. He gives us victory and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:37-39. He gives us peace with God. Romans 5:1. Because of Christ, we can approach the throne of grace with boldness and know that our prayers are heard. Hebrews 4:16. We can rejoice in our affliction. Let me say that again because it's so hard to even grasp that. We can rejoice in our affliction. Romans 5:3. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. He died for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. By his death and our faith in him, our sins are removed. Hebrews 9:26. We have eternal life in him. John 3:16. He gives us life now. John 10:10. In him we will rise again. John 6:40. In Christ, every promise of God is fulfilled. From Genesis to Revelation, he is our advocate and our resurrection in life, our shepherd and the bishop of our souls. He is our master. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is our rock. He is the man of sorrow, our Savior. He is our high priest, the faithful and true, a servant and the living water, the bread of life, the Alpha and the Omega. He is our Redeemer, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lamb of God who came to take on the sins of the world. He is Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, the bright morning star, the Prince of Peace, full of grace and truth. He is Jesus, and in Him, every promise is fulfilled. In Him, you can say yes and amen. Amen. Thank you. He fulfills every promise because He is God with us. He is fully human and fully divine. And He walked among us. And He lived a life you and I could never live. Which brings us back to 2 Corinthians 1:20. Because I want you to see something. That you're not alone in living and seeing these promises. So many of us look at these promises and we struggle in life and we say, I'm not there yet. I don't see it. I can't do this. I'm not feeling it. And I think because you're looking in the wrong places, you're trying to see those promises fulfilled by yourself, that you're trying to fulfill them in your life, your pursuit of happiness. Yet we all know that we fall short. And if I try to live out any of these promises in my own strength, I will fail. They will not happen. So what do I have to do? Have any of you been there? Nod your head. All right. Jesus enables you to see all this. You need to turn to Christ and ask Him to open your eyes. He enables you to live the Christian life. That is why the yes is amen in verse 20. Open up your Bibles in 2 Corinthians and just look at 1:20 and then just look down, 21 and 22. It says this, now it is God who strengthens us with you in Christ and has anointed us. He has also sealed us and given us the Spirit as a down payment in our hearts. Listen to these verses and see how God enables us. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, by these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in this world because of evil desires. Philippians 2:13 says this, For it is God working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. 1 Peter 4:11, which I love, hear this, it says, if anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. And listen to this. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified. So it's not you who's being glorified. You can't say, I accomplished this. It's God working through you that accomplished it. Because it's about God's glory and not your glory. May be glorified through Christ Jesus in everything. To Him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And I love this verse, Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. How many of us have struggled with things, and the first thing we try to do is figure it out on our own? Right? And when it all falls apart, we finally come to the throne of grace and we get help. What would happen to the church if we first turned to the throne of grace in our time of need? How would it change us? In all of this, God is glorified. God is good. And we can look at this Christmas in a new light. Knowing God is faithful and true. Knowing these promises and all the other promises of God are fulfilled in Christ. It should assure us that we can put our faith in His faithfulness. Christ, the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world, born of the Virgin Mary in the town of Bethlehem, foretold 500 years before it happened. Christ, who is in the line of David, the promised blessing of the seed of Abraham, from which the entire earth is blessed. Christ, who died for us while we were still sinners, who lived and died in our place. And through Him, we have sin, removal of our sin and forgiveness. Christ, who was buried and rose again, and because of Him, we too will rise and be with Him. Christ, who calls us, enables us, strengthens us, guides us, intercedes for us. Christ, who never lets us go. Nothing in this life can separate us from His love. This is Christmas. This is grace that descended and entered the world through the manger as a baby. The light that has come into the world full of grace and truth. So that those living in darkness may see. He is the glory for which we say amen. This Christmas, I would hope that you would just stop and think about the precious promises of God. Stop for a moment and give thanks to a God who's loved you and has died for you. God who stepped in the time that you might have life through Him and in Him. We can confidently place our faith in His faithfulness. This is the faith that you can build your life on. This is the faith that will carry you through the hard times and fill your life with joy and peace. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for Your Son, Jesus. He is more precious to me than anything on this earth. And Lord, in Him, life is complete. I have forgiveness of sin. I have life everlasting. But Lord, I have joy and peace in the midst of trouble. That I can face anything in this life, and I know that it is part of Your plan and Your story. And that I can have confidence in knowing that You are faithful to all Your promises. And that whatever it is, though I cannot see what's ahead of me, that You will guide me through it. And Lord, that You would build my faith. And that You will strengthen me day by day. And I can have confidence in You. Lord, I step out these doors and I see all around me, Lord, reasons to lose faith. And I pray right now, Lord, that You would just strengthen our faith. In those times when we doubt ourselves and we doubt You, Lord, I pray that You would just fill us with Your presence. And I pray, Lord, that at this Christmas as we gather around and we share presents, we'd all, and food and fellowship, that we just remember You. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's never put their faith in You, that they've never put their trust in the living Christ, I pray this morning that they would give their lives to You. Open up our hearts and our minds and draw us to You. And Lord, save us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.